Caribou say, hope all is good. Hope the preparations for Sukkot are going along okay. Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Mem Vav. We're here at the bottom of Mem Heim Beis. Finish up this topic before we get to a new Mishnah. Last couple things we've been mentioning, a couple stories and a couple cases where the Ketana, the daughter, accepted Kiddushin without the knowledge of the father, right? Or they accepted the Kiddushin and then did Nisuin, rather. And the father was, in one case, was Medina Sayyam, and in the second case, the father was around. So now we have another case, which is similar, that she actually did both of them, right, and the father was around. So we're here, let's say, one, two, three, it's five lines up from the bottom, Mem Hei Mabez. Niskatsha Shalol Ledas Avia V'Nises Shalol Ledas Avia. Shalol Ledas, I'm sorry. Right, so she got Kiddushin without the father's approval, and she also did Nisuin. V'Avia Khan, and the father is around. Right, he's in the same town. He's at home. Ravun Amar Ochelas, Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Omer, Machlokes again, if you remember, whether she can eat truma, because the concern that maybe the father will come and protest the marriage. So the machlokes is whether she can eat truma or not. So Ra'ula, had Ravuna kechomesh l'shinayim v'ashanayinayim. A very flowerful, descriptive language. Ravuna's shita, right, that she is allowed to eat truma, is like vinegar in the teeth and smoke in the eyes. Right, hashto mahasim dekidushin de'araisa amarta lo achla. Right, before, if you remember, right, yesterday, right, Ravuna himself said in a scenario where the father was Mekadesh, his daughter, and then the Nisuin, right, was done without the Das of the father, right, in that case, Ravuna said that she can eat, right, I'm sorry, that she cannot eat, I apologize, that she cannot eat, right, here she says that she can eat, right, so in the case where the Kiddushin was Daraisa, she's not allowed to eat Truma, here, when she accepted the Kiddushin, which is not Daraisa, right, how in the world would you say that she can eat Truma? So Gemara says, right, dear, and therefore the Gemara says, near a different Talmud. Right, it seems like the Talmud, meaning Rav Yirmiya, who apparently was Rav Yirmiya's, was Ravuna's Talmud. Apparently, Tosas on the top points out that there's another Rav Yirmiya, seems to be that he's not his Talmud. Okay, right, it says there are two Rav Yirmiyas, whatever. So it seems like the Talmud, Rav Yirmiya, is correct as opposed to Ravuna. Somewhere over, my Talmud, Ravuna, ho v'nasa b'maisa yisoma b'chayav. Rav explains now. Rav Huna's shita here is that since the daughter is acting as if she is Yisoma b'chaya av, as if the father has no rishus over her. As the phrase that Yisoma b'chaya av, as we mentioned, is a reference to a scenario where the father has no rishus, where he marries her off, and then let's say the husband dies when she's still a katana, so she doesn't go back to the father's rishus. If she's a yisoma, she's like an orphan, b'chaya av, the father's still alive, meaning that the father has no rishus over her. So it's because they're acting as if that's the case, right? The father's alive, right? He's there, he's not doing anything, but he didn't say anything, right? He's just chilling at home. Right? He didn't say anything. He didn't protest any of the kiddushin or the nisuin. So since they're acting like that, it must be that he's fine with it, and he's very happy to let the daughter get married and do kiddushin and nisuin. Okay, itmar, it was said. Ketana sheniskat shoshelo das avia. Right, if a ketana gets is mekadesh herself without the father's consent and knowing about it. Amar Rav, Rav says, Bein hi uvein avia, yicholim la'akev. Either the daughter, if she has a change of heart, or the father are allowed to stop, right, the Kiddushin, meaning if she kind of like take it back. Or the father, when he hears about it, he can stop. And then Ravasi, Amar Ravasi says, Avia Velohi, right? Like, I would think very logical, the father is the one who's able to protest. But once the girl accepts Kiddushin on her own, right, she is not able. She's not able to then go and take it back. Eser Ravuna Ravasi, one time Ravuna said, what do you mean? Ravasi, Vamri La Ravchia Barava Ravasi, or is Ravchia Barav? Okay. As the following Shaila, the Pasuk says, In Ma'in Yema'in Aviha. If the father refuses, or it literally means refuses, right? Ma'in yama'in, there's a double lashon. What's that talking about? So that's talking about a case of a mafata, where someone seduces a girl. So the halacha is that he is obligated to take her as a wife. Obviously, now people usually hear this and don't know really the halacha, and they're like, what do you mean? How can you say this? Right? A guy rapes a girl, he has to marry her. A guy seduces a girl, he has to marry her. That's crazy. It's not fair. Well, yeah, she doesn't have to agree. Right? It's only if she wants and the father wants. So that's the case. That's what the Pasuk is saying over here. It literally stays in Pasuk, right? Pasuk says, if the father does not want to give the girl over, right? To in kiddushin, does not want to give kiddushin to the guy who seduced her, right? So that, so then that's fine, right? And they don't have to get married, and then he has to pay her, right? What's the fine of 50 chamishim shekel kesef, which is not 50 shekel. That's a lot more money. Anyway, so the pasuk says, or the father says, he's not going to give her over to kiddushin. Ain li ela avia, he atzma minayin. How do you know that the girl herself can refuse to marry this guy? Tam alomer im ma'in yamein, right? Mikol makom, right? It says a double lashon of refusing. So either the father or the daughter. Amar lehu Rav. Rav says, and now the kasha. So that's the kasha, meaning that apparently we see, right, that a girl who is, the Gemara is assuming that the seduction was done for kiddushin. Obviously, the father didn't know about it because the girl was seduced. And therefore, again, we see that the girl is allowed to opt out of this marriage. So that seems to be against Rav Asi, who said it's only the father. So Rav says, "Lo tizlu basar ibcha." Right? What do you mean? That's don't go where the opposite is true. Meaning, it's not a good kasha. Why? Because yashal lishnei yelchu kigon shepita shelo l'shem yishus. How do you know that the pitui, that the seduction, was for marriage? How do you know this is a case where they did kiddushin without anybody knowing about it? Well, maybe he just seduced her stam. How do you know that there's anything to do with kiddushin? So Gemara says, okay, pita shalolushim itzers kraboy. Kraboy? I mean, that's a question. Meaning that, what is, okay, so you need a pasuk? Right, teach me that the father or the girl can opt out of a marriage where the pitui, where the seduction was done not for a kiddushin? Obviously, right? If there's no kiddushin whatsoever, right, therefore you need another kiddushin later to create kiddushin. So obviously that's done with the das of the girl. Right? If she's not interested. So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Lomer Shemishalim Knas Lemefuta. No, what it means is that if the girl doesn't want to marry that guy, so he has to pay. The Knas. I mean, at any point when she refuses to marry, so then the Chamishim Shekel Kesef, right, that goes into effect. So Amar Rav Yosef, okay, that's true. Hainu Tanina and Mohori Marena Lo Leisha. I think the end of the pasuk is Kamora Besulos, meaning that that again he has to pay, right? He has to make her into his wife quickly. Shetzuchay men a kiddushin, i.e., that he needs to do another kiddushin. And this is supporting this understanding. Vimpita l'shem ishus kiddushin lamali. If the seduction originally had been for kiddushin, so why in the world would I have to do another kiddushin? Right, so it must be that this is a case where the original pitui, the original seduction, was not done for kiddushin, and therefore the price is just coming to tell me that if she opts out, well, then that he has to pay. He has to pay the fine of chamishim shekel kesef. So Gemara Abaye says, that's not actually a good proof, because maybe it's tzrichin kiddushin adas aviyah. That could be that if the guy intended to do kiddushin, it could be that they have to do another kiddushin with the father's haskama, with the father's consent. All right, so then lechora that the brisa would say that they just need to do a new kiddushin with the father's intention. So that's not necessarily a good proof, but that's exactly what the brisa means. Okay, new Mishnah. Switching topics over here. Not really switching topics. Well, yeah, switching topics from this, but still within the realm of Kiddushin. Again, this Mishnah we had a couple of days ago, if you remember. Ha'omer le'isha iskachali b'tam razu, iskachali b'zu. Okay, he says, marry me with this date, and then marry me with this one. He says, meaning he splits that up. Right? Im yesh ba'achaz me'im shavapruta m'kodeshes, v'mlav enim m'kodeshes. Right? If one of the dates are shavapruta, then that's great. But if neither of them have a shavapruta individually, then they're not married, because again, he split it up. He said, marry me with this, marry me with this. Those are two separate statements. So we assume that the dates are not related whatsoever. If bazoo, 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 if he said, marry me with this and this and this and this, meaning marry me with all these dates, right? Then you take the sum total, right, of the amount of the dates that he gave her. If she's eating them one by one, so then then she's only mekudeshes, right, if one of them has a shavapruta, and we have to figure out exactly what case that is building on, right? It would depend, right? In what scenario, if she's eating them one by one, is it when the dates are separate, or when he means to marry her with all the dates, and then she's popping them into her mouth, right? So the question is, right, what does that mean? How does that impact what we said before, that you need to have a shavapruta in one of them? Okay, well, so the Gemara will deal with that in a second. Mantana hiskachili. Hiskachi. Again, this is what we saw before. This is Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabba. Rabbi Shimon hid Amar Achiyei Shvu L'chol Echad V'Echad. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that statements will separate halachic chalos, halachic results. Right, if you remember, what is that phrase? What is he talking about? Shvu l'chalachas v'achas. If you're just to jog your memory, Gemara in Shvu says that if a person says he owes money to somebody, says he does not owe money to somebody, and he swears, and then he's lying about it, so he's chayav a korban. The shayla is, let's say he says, all right, he doesn't owe money to five people. So at what point does he have to bring five korbanos or one korban? So Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, it's only if he says, I swear, right? If he's lying about the shvua, right? It's only if he took one shvua, I swear I don't owe money to any of you, so that's one korban. But if he says, I swear I don't owe you, et cetera, at that point, it'll be chayav for kalachas v'achas. So that's the same thing over here. When he says, it's got you li bazoo, marry me with that, right? So then he's separating. That's Rabbi Shimon's shita. Okay, we're gonna leave that for now. Bazoo, yish b'kulan shavapruta. Right, again, we quote the end of the Mishnah. Right, the Gemara is actually going to talk about the last line of the Mishnah, which we're not quoting here. And just to get to refresh, if he says that if she was eating them, so then there needs to be a shavapruta, right, in one of the dates. Otherwise, they're not going to marry. So they're not going to be mikudesh. So the Gemara says, ahaya, on which case are we going on? Right, which case are we adding on to and clarifying? Ile Maresha, if you're talking about the first case where he says, marry me with this, so Mayri Yochalas. So who cares if she's eating it? Right, what's the difference? Right, again, what did we say? We said if he says, marry me with this, we said each of the dates needs to have a Shavapruta. Now we're saying, right, if she's eating them as she goes, one of them has to have a Shavapruta. Well, that's the same din. Right, that's the same thing. Who cares if she's eating it? Says the Gemara. Mayri Yochalas, I feel Manachas. Right, Nami have a kiddushin. Nami. I mean, that would also work. Right, that would also be fine. Right, the hiskachuli bezu kamar. Meaning, he's saying, "Marry me with this." Meaning, that's literally the exact same case. So Ella must be a seifa. We must be going on the second case where he said, "Marry me bezu," and in which we had originally said that you have all of the dates to make up a shavapruta, and now we're saying if she's eating them, then each one of them has to be a shavapruta. The problem with that is, afilu kamaisa, that implies that even if the first date he gave her was a shavapruta, and the rest were not individually, then it works. Problem is, the hamilvahi, because the first date he gives her is a loan. What do you mean, a loan? What in the world does that mean? So if a guy says, let's say, marry me with these 10 dates, for example. So he means to give her the entirety, right, of the value of those dates. Until he gets to the 10th date, right, after the 10th date, they'll be married. But what happens to the first nine dates? Right, the woman now has 9 dates. He said, marry me with 10 dates. So the first 9 dates are basically a loan. He's loaning her money, right? Until that changes, right? Until the 10th date hits, right? And that changes to become the entire cast of Kiddushin. Right, the first 9, though, right, he just gave her valuable objects. Right, which Lechora, right, did not intend to be a gift until, right, the entire package was for marriage. And we said before, if you remember, in Mekadesh B'Milva, where you can't make Kiddushin, we did that before, you can't make a Kiddushin with a Milva. So the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Hare Shulchan, Vare Basar, Vare Sabin, Sakin, I'm sorry, right, hey, we got a table, we got meat, we got a knife, Ve'in Lanu Lechol, and we got nothing to eat. Meaning that basically we have all this stuff. We have a Mishnah laid out for us, but we don't have a shot. Right? Very beautiful way of, you know, Gemara got very flowery today, right? Very fantastic lashon. Now we got all this stuff ready for us, and we have no way to eat. So Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Tevayhu, so Rabbi Shmuel both explain like this. La'olam, there are two possibilities. We're going to see two possibilities what this line means. So Rabbi Shmuel, first of all, they say La'olam Aresha. Really, it's going on the first part. Again, the first part of the Mishnah that says that marry me with this. Right? It has to be a shavapruta. You're telling me, isn't that the same case if she's eating it? Right? So the Gemara says, yeah. Right? Veloma bayakamar. And the Gemara says, yeah, the style of the Mishnah is that this is true, and even in this case, right, this has the same halacha. There's a lomi baya manacha. So you don't even need to tell me, right, again, that if she leaves it on the table, right, one of them have to have individually has to have a shavapruta. The ika shavapruta in the lo, right? One of them have to have a shavapruta. Avalochelas, but if she's eating them, so hol makarva hanasa. Since you might have thought that she is getting hana, right, there's a concept that she's getting hana right away. She's literally mamish eating them. So maybe ema gamram kaminavsha. You might have thought that she's being makne herself and she's agreeing to the kiddushin without the Shava Pruta. Right? Apparently, that however you understand that, whether that it's bumping it, the Hana that is happening right away, so therefore it bumps it up to a Pruta, or it doesn't need to be a Pruta because she's getting this immediate Hana, and that's good enough. Okay, however you understand that, Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah is teaching us, right, that in both cases, right, you might have thought if she's eating it that it can be less than a Shava Pruta, so Kamash Malan, that it needs to be a fully Shava Pruta. Rabbi Ami says, no, really, Allah Masefa, really, we're adding on to the second case. And again, just to clarify, the second case was, we said, bzu, 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 right, we need, and all of the dates can collectively be a Shava Pruta, and now we're saying if she's eating them, one of them has to be a Shava Pruta. So, umay ache vakas mem Shava Pruta, achehe bachrona Shava Pruta. And Rabbi Ami says, no, the only one that can be worth a Pruta and create Kiddushin is the last one, right? If you remember, the problem with the first one, or the first, let's say, nine, right, is that that's all given the Torah alone, because we haven't completed the Kiddushin yet. So now Rabbi Ami is saying that what it means is if one of them, i.e., if the last one has a Shava Pruta, all right, so then, if she's popping her mouth, popping into her mouth, if the last one has a Shava Pruta, then they are Mekudeshes. So Amar Rabba says, Shema Minami Midi Rabbi Ami Tlas. Therefore, we learn three things from Rabbi Ami's statement. First of all, Shema Minah Makash Milva Inam Mekudeshes, right? And then we assume that if there's a loan that is used for the Kedushin, right, the Kedushin is not Chal, right? That was our whole problem, right? You can't marry somebody with a loan. Okay. Shema Minah Hamakash Milva Pruta Dasa Daita Apruta. So we see that if someone gives a woman both a loan and a gift of a pruta, right, and says marry me, right, we assume she's focusing on the pruta and not the loan. Okay, fine. And we learn that money in general, right, and again, if for whatever reason there's no kiddushin that is done by this money, right, need to be returned, right, need to be given back. Right, if you look at Rashi over here, Kol Kedushin Shaina Kedushin Loan Min Amos Matana. We don't say let's say the guy gives her money and the Kedushin for whatever reason is not Chal, right? So we assume that the money goes back. It's not a gift, right? It's not Matana. It's a Matana. I'm just reading in Rashi El Pikadon V'Chozrin, and really it's a Pikadon and it has to go back. Find the Karilech Hocheles Rishona Milva. That's why we call the dates that she's eating a loan and not a gift. I mean, you might have thought, again, you know, there are a couple options, right? You give money to a girl, the condition doesn't go through for whatever reason. How do you view that money? So you might have thought that it's a gift. Here we're saying, no, it's a milva, it's a loan, i.e. that she has to pay back. Okay, fine. Now, without getting in further into that, Rashi, that's the pashuk shot. Okay. Itmar, it was said, Amakadosh HaChoso. Again, on the similar case, when you give money to somebody and the Kiddushin is not Chal, right? We said several times, many times, this Masechta. You say, Arei Mekudesh Li to your sister, that's nothing. Nothing happens halachically, as opposed to, which I think we had yesterday, right? Agrusha and Lekoin Hadyot, Amana Lekoin Gadol, right? There are Isurim, they're not allowed to marry those people, but if they would say, Arei Mekudesh Li, that would work. And there'd be an obligation to divorce them, but there would be what's called a Tfisas Kiddushin. So let's say you give Kiddushin to your sister. What do you do with the money? What is that? So Rav Amar Mos Chozrin Mishmul Amar Mos Matana. Rav says the money goes back, right? He's giving her a deposit or whatever, a loan, whatever it is. She has to pay it back. And Shmuel says, no, it's a gift. Rav Amar Mos Chozrin. Rav says you have to give the money back. So everybody knows you can't marry your sister. So therefore, he's giving her just for safekeeping. So the Gemara says, okay, so why didn't he tell her that? So he says, suffered the Lomakabla. Okay, he thinks that she won't accept it, she won't take it, she doesn't want to watch over his stuff, whatever. Okay, so he says, Arei Mekudeshesli, disguises his intentions. Shmuel says, Maos Matana, that the money is a gift. Because everybody knows you can't marry your sister. And therefore, he's given her a gift. The name of La Mishumatana, why didn't he say, here, I'm giving you a gift? And also, Sasavar, Kasifa, La Milsar. He holds it, it's embarrassing to give her a gift, right? So, name of Tanas Yechia, and she's not going to accept it. So, he said it in some other strange and funny Lashon. Masi Ravina. Ravina asked the following Kasha. Kasha is from Mishnah and Chala, right? Fascinating Kasha application. Just, I love when they bring in halachos from random places that you never, ever, ever would think to connect from one to the next, right? It shows, my Rebbe used to always say, Rebbe Yonasan Sacks used to always say, you see that Torah is just one big picture, right? Everything is connected. Baruch Hashem. So Ravina says like this, Mishnah Chala, Hamafresh Chalaso Kemach. Person takes Chala from his flour. Now, just to take a 2 seconds two steps back for a second. Challah, right? When we hear the word challah, we think of the delicious bread we eat on Shabbos. That's actually kind of misappropriated. The word challah is the obligation to take dough and give it to a kohen, right? Just like we give truma and meiser to the levi, etc. Right? We give challah, right, from a certain amount of dough, as we'll see in a second. It has to be a five-quarter of a kav, which has nowadays, again, discussion how much that is nowadays. Okay. Either way, so the now I lost my train of thought. Right. So we take challah from dough, right, and we give it to the kohen. If you take challah from kemach, from flour, so that's not challah. So that's what the Mishnah says, right? Again, the Mishnah says, "Amafresh challah, so kemach eino challah." Right? A person takes challah from his flour, right? Hasn't mixed any water into it, right? Nowadays, right? If you make your own challah, so there's obviously a lengthy process that goes into it. Take it out of the flour bag. Right, that's not challah. If it gezel be'ed kohen, and it's theft in the hands of the kohen, right? If you give that to the kohen, he has to give it back to you. So why says amai? Why is that? Gezel be'ed kohen. Why should it be theft? Why don't we say the exact same logic that we said over here? Right, we said before here, everybody knows you can't marry your sister. So neima, you should also say adam yodesh, neima frishin challah kemach. Everybody knows you don't take challah from flour. If it's not, the shematana must have been a gift. Why do we have to make the kohen give it back? Why says shiny hosam? That's different. Why? Because we're going to have a big problem with a churva, right? We're going to have a churban. We're going to have a disaster from this. What kind of disaster could that be? Sometimes you'll have a kohen who has in his bowl less than 5/4 of a kav of kemach, i.e. less than the shear of challah. Then he's going to take the challah, the quote-unquote challah flour that you just gave him, and he's going to mix it in together. Because silver, and he's going to think, he's going to think that his bread is ready to roll, because he has more than the share of challah, but part of that flour and that dough was the challah, quote-unquote, that you gave him. Part of that flour mixture, the amount of flour that you have, is quote-unquote challah. So he doesn't have to separate challah. Right? And he's going to eat it when it's still tevel. So Chazal made the kohen give it back. So one second, but what do you mean he's going to think? He's going to think it's challah? What do you mean the kohen's going to think it's challah? You just told me that everybody knows you don't take challah from flour. Right? So if you didn't know, now you know. So everybody knows. So you dance, the kohen says, yeah. So what do you mean he's going to get confused? He's going to think that his flour, his challah is good. I mean, what do you mean? Everybody knows that the flour is not challah. Okay, they know, but they don't really know. They know that, yeah, you don't take challah from flour. But they don't know, because they're going to think that the reason is, they're going to think the reason is not because that's not the appropriate time for challah, they're going to think because we don't want to bother the kohen, right, to now make his dough. Right? We want to give the kohen proper dough, ready to roll, right in the oven, right? Shabbos is coming. So, v'tircha the kohen, the achle. And they're going to think the kohen can be mochel on that concern. Right? So the kohen with mochel, and they think that maybe the flour is challah, and then maybe we're concerned that he'll mix it with the other flour he has, etc. So Kohen says v'avitavi truma. Well, why don't you make the flour that he gets as challah as truma? Now Rashi points out that over here that it's not really truma. Right? We're not actually making this into truma. What it means is, why don't we let the kohen keep it like truma? And v'lo tochal as sheyotzi alei challah mimakom acher. Why don't we just obligate the kohen to give challah from another place? Right? Just say, okay, you can keep this, but separate challah on this from somewhere else. Minu l'tnan. Right? We have a similar concept again in a different concept. This Mishnah is in Demai. Okay, from the Gemara says, minanakov al enonakov truma. If you have two flower pots, right, one of them is a hole in the bottom, one of them doesn't. So one of them, right, is considered to be as if it's growing in the ground because it's getting its nourishment, right? The roots go down into the ground, so it's getting nourishment from the ground. So that is deoraisa, meaning that is chayav in truma semaisos deoraisa. If it's in a flower pot without a hole in the bottom, so that's truma semaisos derabanan. And you cannot, theoretically, you cannot take truma semaisos from that's chayav midarabanan, right, and be motzi something that's chayav midaraisa. So what happened if you did that, though? Right? What happened if you did take truma from the Rabbanon, the flower pot without the hole, for the produce in the flower pot with the hole? So Gemara says it's truma, meaning that the Kohen can, not that it's truma, but i.e. the Kohen can keep it. And it is, okay. V'lo tochal, right, ad sheyotzei ala truma ma'aser m'makom achar. But the Kohen shouldn't eat it, right, until he takes off, right, truma and ma'aser, right, from another place, right? That, with this exact suggestion that we're saying, why don't we let the Kohen keep the flour that's challah, right, and separate challah from another place? And we don't want, we don't, and don't make the Kohen give it back. So Gemara says, betray money tzois, right? Bechad mana lo tzois. Tzois means it'll listen, right? Betray money in the case where there are two separate kalim, right? Again, you have two different flower pots, right? Again, that one is has a hole, one doesn't. So the Kohen, he'll listen. I mean, he'll, when if the Kohen will listen to you to separate truma for that, but bechad mana, but if there's only one, right, by the flour it's all mixed together in the bowl, so he's not gonna listen, because he's not gonna think that the flour he gave, received was not actually challah. So we have to make sure he gives it back. Right? Because that distinction will alert him and tip him off. But in this case, right, we don't have that distinction necessarily. V'boisema, or another answer, right? L'olam kolim matzit sayis. Really, the coin is going to listen, right? If you told him he has to separate challah from in another place, but because always going to hold balabais nitzkani yisoso, he's going to think that the guy, right? No, the concern is meaning not that the coin has a problem. The coin's going to listen, but we have to give the flour back to the guy who gave it to the coin, because the balabais is the problem. The balabais is going to give the coin the flour. He's the balabais is going to think, right, that his dough is fine because he gave challah, but it was from the flour. And what's going to happen? I'll say mechlo b'tifla, but he's going to end up eating his dough, which he didn't take flour from, which he didn't take challah from. I have a matter, but the Gemara says again, we're going to do the same song and dance. Adam yodea she'im afrish nechala v'kemach. But didn't we just say everybody knows you can't take challah from kemach, so what's the whole concern here, b'chlal? The Gemara says again, yodea v'inu yodea. He knows, but he doesn't really know. Yodea she'im afrish nechala v'kemach. V'inu yodea, but he doesn't know, there's a concern from time of mayim, he shouldn't check out the coin. He's going to think that the whole reason is because the coin doesn't, we don't want to make the coin be matriach himself to bother himself to go make this whole dough thing and go through the whole process. And then you might think that tircha the coin kibla mine aleha, right? He's going to think that the coin was mochel and he accepted the dough, or the flour rather, and then the dough of the balabais he's going to eat without separating challah, and there's going to be a problem. I have a dami truma, v'yachso v'yachroma. So okay, so Gemara says again, let the coin keep the flour and to make this guy, make the balabais, separate truma from the actual dough. So the Gemara says, Milo, and because Milo Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, again, our Mishnah we just quoted, Mishnah Inanakov Alanakov, Truma V'Yachzor V'Yitzrom, because we have the same case where you're separating Truma D'Rabbanan on Truma D'Oraisa, right? What do? We have to keep, let the coin keep it, but he separates Truma elsewhere, right, just to make sure we're covering our bases. So let's do the same thing with Chala. So the Gemara says, Ho Kimna betray money tzois, bechad money lo tzois. Okay, so you either give the same answer, right, that you have this thing that will inform on the coin and make sure that he will listen because it came from two kalim. Velotzais, but if you won't listen, and the Gemara says, but he won't listen if there's one kli. Tanan we learned in the Mishnah and Trumos, right? Atarim kishos v'nimtza mara amatiach v'nimtza sarach. In the case if you separated bad produce, right? You took a cucumber for truma and it was mara, it was bitter. Or amatiach, you watermelons. I don't know if it's watermelons, but whatever. Okay, let's just say it's watermelon because that's fun, right? And he found out that it was a bad watermelon. So what happens? Truma v'yachzor v'yitrom. Right? It counts as truma, but you have to go take it again. And this is a case of one kli, of one thing. There's one thing involved here. Chazal said, right, that you have to take it again. Right, because people are people are going to agree. People of tzais, people are going to listen to them. So it says shiny awesome. No, that's different because midoraisa truma maliyehi. Right? Really, why is that different? Because really, that bad melon or that bad cucumber is actually truma deoraisa. Right? Midrabi eloi from Rabbi eloi. Drama Rabbi eloi. Menem the term in aral ayafash truma so truma. Right? How do you know that if someone separates bad produce on good produce, right? Even though that's not nice, it's still actually, it is halakhically viable, and it is actually truma. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Vosu su alav cheparim chemes chavo." Right? Don't sin when they take the meaning. Don't sin, and therefore take the best of your produce, whatever you're separating, as truma. If eno kadosh, Nisiyas Chet Lama. What do you mean? Don't sin and take the best of your truma, implying that best of your produce, implying that if you take the worst of your produce, let's say, for example, then you have a chet. Well, why should it be a chet if the worst of your produce is not actually truma? Right? You have to separate truma. So it says, take from the best of your stuff. Well, if you take from the worst of your stuff, what are you doing? Right? Does that halakhically viable? Right? If it's not halakhically viable, so there's no chet whatsoever. It's like you say, take some truma, and what do? You throw a baseball against the wall. Stupid example. But it has nothing to do with anything. Meaning, if it's not a halakhic status, if it doesn't do truma, if it doesn't, it's not halakhically viable, what chet is there? Right? You've not violated the isser of not taking good truma because you haven't taken truma. So it must be that when you take truma from bad produce, you have taken truma. Just you violate this pasuk that says to take truma from the good produce. So mikan that's what Rabbi Eli says. Mikan truma. That's how you know that if you take bad produce, right, still it's good, it meaning it works, right? But you kind of just violate this isser, right? And therefore people are gonna listen. Right, in that scenario. Okay, we're gonna hold it here. We'll wish everybody a Chag Sameach. We have we're probably not gonna be able to give a share on Erev Sukkos, but Mitzvah Shem on Mitzvah Shabbos and Mitzvah Yom Tov Rishon. And Mitzvah Shem, we'll get back into it if I'm able to. Gotta remember to bring the recorder and the Gemara and all this stuff right to where we're going for Yom Tov. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.